Corporate greed has taken over. Money is more important than people. Rebels hack the financial system, seeking to take down the banks. This is not Oryx and Craig. This is a battle between good and evil with cybercrime and lawlessness. And if you're a fan of the cable show Mr. Robot, you recognize why the main character, Elliot, a cybersecurity programmer, joined the hacker vigilante group F Society. And in season two, Elliot refocuses his target.
What exactly are you doing?
I'm hacking the FBI.
Whoa. I saw that episode last night, I think. It sounds like things are going to get complicated for Elliot and everybody there. Hacking the FBI is pretty serious. But realistic? Where do these elaborate hacks come from? That's the responsibility of my next guest. And warning, if you aren't caught up on the show, there might be a few spoilers here. Cora Don is a writer and technology producer for Mr. Robot. He's based out of Los Angeles, and he's here in our New York studios. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You don't shy away from showing all that code on the screen.
No, I think we're one of the first television shows to really show how it's done and have a realistic portrayal of the software and the code. I mean, I may have seen it. I know that the Matrix film used an Nmap tool, but that's about it. Most of the time, it looks like a video game.
Because I've had coders tell me I freeze the screen and I look and see if the code is real or not.
There's a whole subset of our viewership that freezes every single frame of our computer
really?
Screens. They break down the tools that we're using, the versions of the software. They look for hidden codes in the screens that we hide in there for them. It's really fun and interactive.
There are hidden codes.
A huge part of my job is incorporating Easter eggs in the show and making that level of interactivity there. So if you see IP addresses or URL web addresses or even barcodes or QR codes anywhere on the show, they will lead somewhere.
Wow.
And if you want to go down that rabbit hole, there might be a prize at the end of it.
I'm going.
It's a lot of fun.
Maybe we'll be able to list them on our website. Everybody can look at the codes.
If you can find them. There are a few that haven't been found yet.
Well, take us through the process about creating the idea for a hack. How did you come up with it, what you were going to do?
So what we do, it starts in the writer's room, and the story will always come first. So I, along with the other writers and Sam, our showrunner and our creator, will come up with the character points, the plot points, and we'll map out where our characters need to go, how they get from point A to point B in the story, and what kind of arcs and turns are there, and how we will use technology and hacking to kind of weave in and weave it into the story and get from point A to B. So usually we'll map out the story, and then there'll be a placeholder there where Sam will say, all right, Core, we need a hack here. Like, we need this piece of information.
You need a hack. We need to bring down the bank in the first.
We need to bring down Bank of E somehow.
Right.
You know,
right.
Go figure out how to do it. So that's when I go home and do my research, and I have a whole team of consultants that work under me who are very mm-hmm. smart hackers, and we have a couple of ex-FBI consultants as well who weigh in, and we have this little technology brainstorming session that happens in tandem with our story writer's room, and we'll come up with different realistic scenarios, and then once we finalize that idea, I'll pitch it to the other writers, and everyone agrees, and at that point, it's just like a paragraph in the screenplay and in the script. It's just, you know, a couple of lines, very general, broad strokes.
When you say it's a realistic scenario, you actually have people who think about how you could hack the bank, bring it down?
Definitely.
And in this second season, you're hacking the FBI?
We are
is
hacking.
Is that possible?
The way in which we did it in season two is possible. We had numerous conversations with Andre McGregor and Michael Bazell, our two ex-FBI cyber consultants, and we talked about the nature of the network infrastructure of the FBI, how they have certain unclassified networks, and one of the things that really stood out was, you know, and like other companies, they have standard issued phones. So we thought, okay, if we have the FBI operating out of E-Corp and they're doing an investigation there, we don't have to attack the FBI field office. We can attack the FBI agents who are in that building. And if they all have the same kind of Android phone, we can write a custom-built exploit that will attack those phones and collect all the data from those phones. So that will be our kind of, you know, phishing right. approach, that net approach to see what kind of data we can gather from all these agents.
And you worked in cybersecurity before.
I did. I worked in cybersecurity for a major automotive company, and I did penetration testing. I developed network security policies. I did computer forensics and, you know, basically white hat hacking. And I was able to bring a lot of that experience into building out a realistic network infrastructure for Evil Corp and just tackling our hacks from an authentic place.
Take us through how you one of the hacks. Take us through the...
Well, in season one, if you remember, I mean, the engine for season one is taking down Evil Corp. So
right.
I met with Sam early on, and we basically mapped out all the locations of where Evil Corp would store their data. So we know that they would have a U.S. data center with local backups. We knew that they would have an off-site data center, probably, like most companies have another data center for redundancy or disaster recovery. We knew that they'd probably have off-site tape backups. So once I started to map out like the network topology of Evil Corp, that's where we were inspired to like, all right, how would we actually take down, how would we actually destroy this data? So I'd throw out some ideas for, you know, we could use the worm that was installed in the pilot episode that Elliot installed, and we could have that encrypt all of the data in the U.S. data center. We have a Chinese hacker group that could take care of the China data center, and we have different ideas for how to tackle the offsite tapes as well. And I remember throwing out ideas like, okay, we could use magnets because, you know, it's magnetic tape,
right,
and we could use magnets to destroy it. But another great show, Breaking Bad, already used that idea. So that's where we came up with the climate control hack at Steel Mountain, which was a lot of fun to develop because we really got into the hardware that was used, and we were able to incorporate a little credit card sized computer called a Raspberry Pi, which I'm sure
I knew what that was.
But
I was talking to my wife, said that's a little computer, John.
Yeah, and I've never seen that in a show before, and I've never seen that be used for a major hack before. So it was a lot of fun to incorporate the Raspberry Pi and get into the nitty gritty specifics about how we're gonna hack the climate control system and, you know, up the temperature in that room so we could basically melt
right.
those tapes. And it was something that we think we were able to convey to, you know, the audience, the non-techie audience, and something that the techie audience would appreciate.
Talking with Cora Dana, writer and technology producer for Mr. Robot on Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. You know, we have a very wide-ranging audience on Science Friday, and we talk about things that everybody can understand. And then we talk about high-tech stuff. We get into high-tech stuff. We think sometimes we're getting too far into the weeds. We're not going far enough into the weeds for some people. They really want that. You know? Do you find that true, that they love to see that that technology detail?
That's one thing that I found surprising early on, and it's something that I latched onto, because once we started incorporating that level of detail into season one, I started seeing all these posts on Reddit and on Twitter and on social media of these people taking screenshots of the screens and breaking it down and looking for secret codes. And then I thought, all right, this is great. This is what they want. Let's incorporate more of these little details. And it's a huge part of my job.
Are the details also true about the personalities of the hackers?
Definitely. This is something that's interesting, because I'm lucky enough to have been exposed to a lot of hackers and a lot of writers. And I know when Sam created the character of Elliot and put together the different characters of F Society, I know he used himself as some of the...
Which one is he?
I mean, he's very close to Elliot.
Yeah.
But just in terms of the anxieties and the neuroses and the worries that writers go through, and, you know, the isolation and the loneliness and just being able to, you know, lock yourself in a room and work on a script and solve a story problem. It's very similar to that of a hacker. There are a lot of hackers who are socially awkward. There are a lot of writers who are socially awkward. I've spoken to a lot of hackers who say that, you know, they were huge introverts before they started going to different hacker conferences like DEF CON and Black Hat, and that's where they really met other people like them, and they were able to talk about, you know, learn how to talk to people. So we used a lot of that and incorporated a lot of that into our hacker characters, our members of F Society.
Yeah, we're seeing so much in the arts. We were talking about Oryx and Crake before, a dystopian society. Dystopia has become such a meme these days. And in Mr. Robot, Elliot and the F Society start out with good intentions, but it quickly goes bad.
Well,
doesn't it? Can hackers not be shown as good people at the end, you know, people who are not trying to take something down but to build something up, because they start saying they want to do that, but toward the end of the episodes, they're saying, boy, did we make a mistake. I'm using euphemistic language.
No, definitely. And the series is not over yet, so we don't really know where this is going, but it's the intentions were good. Yeah. I mean, if you watch season one, you can get on board with their plan. They, you know, Elliot wanted to save the world, and maybe perhaps F Society was a little naive with that plan. And this season is all about the consequences and repercussions of that decision of taking down Evil Corp. Yeah, erasing the debt sounds like a great idea, but it's obvious that they didn't think things through all the way. And I think that's something that you know, people involved in hacktivism or hackers or you know, young and angry, you know, militant viewers out there who latch on to season one and be like, yeah, that's great. I think it's intriguing and compelling to see the fallout of that and see how our characters deal with the fact that maybe they were wrong. Maybe they didn't think this all the way through.
Hmm. Well, this prison angle has got me, I'm thinking a little further in advance, got me a little shaky. Everybody have to watch and see what I'm talking about. So I'm not giving anything away.
You gave a little bit away.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little. Get everybody keep watching. Cora Donner, writer and technology producer for Mr. Robot. Thank you very much. It's a great show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot's on Wednesdays at 10 on USA Network.
In USA, right? Yep.
And you can find a few of the Mr. Robot Easter eggs, which you talked about, on our website at sciencefriday.com/MRRobot.